Good morning. Good morning. Our numbers have thinned, but I'm glad that you're here, and we're going to continue as we dive into our presentation this morning, Tech Transformation, Part 4, Social Media's Impact. And is it up there on the screen? Good. It's not down here on the monitor. Maybe we can get that turned on. That helps a little bit sometimes. But what I want to do is start to get into some practical things in the sense of what's actually going on. And what I mean by practical is how can we evaluate where we are with our tech, perhaps even tech addiction. And so we're going to go through some specifics now. We're going to look at social media's impact on us and specifically on our mental health. And of course, social media platforms obviously can have their benefits, and indeed they do, but we've learned that using them too frequently can cause issues. In fact, what they're finding is that it can cause us to be quite unhappy and isolated in the long run. So there are six ways that social media could be negatively affecting your mental health without you actually even realizing it. So we're going to go through six different things here that the researchers have discovered. And the first is self-image. And you know, unfortunately, if you have spent any time on this planet, most of us struggle with our share of insecurities. And they can range from just kind of minimal, and they can be extreme, unfortunately. And unfortunately, what happens with social media is that we tend to compare ourselves, and we compare ourselves to those people on social media that are putting out their absolute best foot forward, and we think that this is just how they are normally. And unfortunately, many people are out there stalking other people and voyeuristically looking at these other people and their images. They're staying up to date with their relationship statuses on Facebook, and unfortunately, it increases these feelings of self-doubt. A study conducted by the University of Copenhagen found that many people suffer from Facebook envy. That's actually a thing now, Facebook envy. With those who abstain from using the popular site, report that they felt more satisfied with their lives. And this is really a key point. Think about this. In your neighborhood, if you lived in a town, you have this idea of keeping up with the Joneses, right? Where, you know, and that's huge in the world. And we Christians, I hope it's not infecting us as well, but unfortunately it does. To where you would look at maybe your friend group or your neighbors, and you kind of just say, well, you know, I mean, they have a nice home, I have a nice home, they have a nice car, I have a nice car, whatever it may be. Oh, their kids are in private school, mine are. Whatever the criteria it is that we are keeping up with the Joneses, the challenge now is it's not with just a limited friend circle or a family or a neighborhood. We're now trying to keep up with, especially our young people, and even more specifically our young daughters, are trying to keep up with the world now. Hundreds, even thousands of people that they're looking at all the time on social media. Social media can cause us to become very dissatisfied with our lives because, frankly, we don't get to go to that school. We can't afford that type of clothing. We don't get to go on those vacations. We don't have that friend group. My parents don't make that much money. Before you know it, you can become extremely dissatisfied with actually a healthy, happy life otherwise. You follow what I'm saying? Dr. Tim Bono, author of When Likes Aren't Enough, it's a really good book, by the way, when we derive a sense of worth based on how we are doing relative to others, we place our happiness in a variable that is completely beyond our control. And that's the problem. What's going to be the standard? And specifically for the Christian, the standard is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not supposed to be others around us. And when you look at other people, especially on social media, it's a variable that's beyond our control. And that can breed that dissatisfaction. social media makes it extremely easy to compare our lives to others, and that, they have found, is not good for our mental health. And unfortunately, we human beings, many of us, I'm a type A personality, and I have a very competitive nature, and what this does is it really helps us to become quite competitive, and we tend to judge ourselves by comparing our lives with that of others. I think about our daughters. I think about the young ladies in our church and in our communities. And I think, you know, the keeping up with the Joneses, well, really today it's more like keeping up with the Kardashians. And some of your young people know who they are. And they say they're a well-to-do family, a Hollywood family, and they've become, frankly, media moguls and business entrepreneurs, and they're making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't even know what their combined net worth is, but it's probably getting close to $1 billion now. And what happens is that our daughters are looking to these young ladies, well, they're not so young anymore, but these ladies that have entire teams to help put them together. And they take these selfies, and if you look at them, they're amazing, they're beautiful. Of course, they're beautiful people, but what they fail to realize is that it took them 5 hours to get to the place to where they can take that amazing photograph. And yet our daughters that might have $10 worth of makeup are trying to compete with that. I'll never look like that. Exactly. And the reality is, without a team of professionals, they don't look like that either. Amen? But that's not what you see. You just think that it's just so candid and so... No. They are spending countless amount of money on these professionals and on procedures. I mean, they're doing things all the time to tighten this and deaden this and, you know, let's put botulism in the forehead so it doesn't even crinkle when you have an expression. Everyone's walking around with this perfect wrinkle-free skin with no expression. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. And they've got these lips that are sticking out like this, you know. It's crazy what's going on now. How many people are, they're becoming so disingenuous. And this is now becoming what we're calling beauty. How difficult for our young people. How difficult. The latest research by the Disability Charity Scope found 60% of users on social media. This was actually, they did a study with about 1,500 Twitter and Facebook users. And here's what they found. 60% of users felt jealous of their peers on social media. So just being on there, they're jealous of what other people's lives are. And 62% felt isolated on social media. You see the disconnect here? On social media, they're feeling isolated. Be it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, using social media excessively can increase our actual loneliness. And it's just, people don't even perceive it because we're doing something that's supposed to be social in nature, but it tends to bring us more loneliness and it can lead to depression. Interestingly enough, people with low self-esteem tend to be more active on social media. So they already start off with low self-esteem, and they tend to be the ones that are even more on social media. They use social media mostly now for self-promotion, but sometimes they don't get the likes or that positive feedback that they're looking for, and they get upset if it doesn't go viral. I've never had anything go viral. As though that's now the standard, the gold standard is you need to get something to go viral. For what purpose? For everybody to go, oh, amazing. For something that may not even be of any sort of real impact in one's life. And so unfortunately, because they're not getting the response that they want, because they're finding their self-worth in their self-image, they're building it on whether or not people like them online, the challenge with this is that they can go deeper into the reclusive behaviors and retreat back into their loneliness, and they just become more and more dissatisfied. The National Health Service in the UK has identified an alarming trend, listen, among girls, so specifically related to social media use. They attribute stress and social media with a 68% increase in hospital admissions for self-harming behaviors in girls. That's huge. That means if you lined up 10 young ladies, 10 teens, and even early 20s, if you line them up, almost 7 of them will be having and deciding that I need to engage in self-harming behaviors. Why? Because they can never measure up to what's going on out there. Do you see the problem? Does that concern you, parents? Nobody? Is anybody awake this morning? All right, praise. Welcome back. Amen. Praise the Lord. What's interesting is that you look at the stats for the boys. There was a 26% increase for boys or for young teens. The males were less affected and are less affected by social media than our young girls. It's huge. This is why I'm so concerned for our daughters. Self-image is at an all-time low. While most posts look like everything is really awesome, but inside, they're really a mess. The social media's impact on females is alarming. The second area of concern is human connection. And we've talked a little bit about this, quite a bit on Sabbath morning yesterday. As human beings, it's important for us to communicate and forge personal connections with one another, which we talked about. However, it can be really hard to do when we're glued to those little rectangular screens. Becoming more acquainted with our digital facades and our friends' digital facades more than their real-life personas. New research has discovered that 1 in 3 Americans say they are more likely to meet someone new online than in the real world now. 1 in 3. That's like over 30% are saying, you know what? I'm not even meeting people face-to-face anymore. I'm more likely to meet them online. In another article entitled Well Connected, several reports are citing a decline in face-to-face contact. And what they did is they looked at the last 20 years, and here's what they found. It's identified a dramatic decline in hours per day of face-to-face social interaction as the use of electronic media dramatically increased. So look at that. We have a graph here. So you'll notice there on the left side of the graph, it says hours per day. And then you'll notice across the bottom, it shows from 1987 to 2007. And by the way, this is the most recent information I could find. We're trying to find closer data to the decade in which we're living, but this is what we could find. Even back then, and this was before there was a huge push in social media. So as our electronic media use increased, look at the corresponding social interaction. It's dramatic. So as you're looking at our social media use going up, our social interaction with each other face-to-face is going down. The number of people saying there's no one with whom they discuss important matters has nearly tripled now. So all the social interaction is causing more loneliness and isolation, and we're not even finding that most people here are saying, you know, it's 3 times worse than it used to be to find somebody I can share really important matters with in my life with somebody. Now, one beautiful thing about being on a college campus is that if you're just, you know, bold enough, if you will, you can go and find somebody and say, I really need to talk to you. In fact, many of you have approached me and talked to me about some very serious things this weekend. And just know that Brother Christian or Uncle Christian, whatever you want to call me, is here for you. Our ministry doesn't stop when we leave here today. Amen? Amen? If you can't find somebody on this campus or within your sphere of friends or at your local church, then reach out to me or my wife. But the number is tripled in a very short amount of time where people think, I can't even talk to anybody. Yet we're hyper-connected. The number of both kin, that means family, and non-kin confidants is described as dramatically smaller. We don't have confidants like we used to. The socially empty surface level connection is gutting us as a human family. The report said also that couples now spend less time in one another's company and more time at work, commuting, or in the same house but in separate rooms using different electronic media devices. And parents spend less time with their children than they did just a short decade ago. And we wonder why our children are getting involved in all these different things and believing strange philosophies. Mom and dad are just as addicted as their kids. And they're not spending quality time together anymore. Another concern is anxiety due to what's known as FOMO. Have you ever heard of FOMO? F-O-M-O. It means fear of missing out. This has become a very serious thing now. It's where people feel that other people are having fun or they're living a life and I'm afraid that I'm missing out. And all it does is generate within us this envy and isolation. Why didn't they invite me? Stina Saunders, a former model who has a large following on Instagram, explained how social media sometimes makes her feel that she's being left out. She says, quote, "I know from my experiences I can get FOMO when I see my friends' photos of a party I didn't go to, and this in turn can make me feel quite lonely and anxious." So here's this beautiful model that's making lots of money and is invited to go all over the place, but she'll look on social media and see her friends are out there having fun. Why didn't they invite me? Wait a minute, what's wrong with me? I'm fun. I'm cute. I dress well. I have money. Why haven't they invited me? Well, friends, just because some of your friend group goes somewhere, it doesn't mean we're entitled to go. Amen? But this is how it works now. I've been left out before we didn't know about it. Amen. What a blessing it was to not know what everybody was doing all the time. But now we're so hyper-connected, we know what everybody's doing all the time. It's none of their business. But now the digital natives, and not just the digital natives, but the digital immigrants, they feel like they have to be posting stuff all the time. All the time. I've been in different cities around this nation as my wife and I have been on our tour full time since November. We've been a lot of places. And people are like, show us where you're going. Tell us what you're doing. I posted just a couple of times. And you'd be surprised the feedback I got. People sending me direct emails saying, oh, when you're out, you're supposed to be serving the Lord. What are you doing out there having fun? I was like, whoa, wait a second. I do have some free time in my life. I was shocked. I'm like, get thee behind me, Satan. But friends, let's be honest. It was my fault. I posted it. And when I was in Niagara Falls with my wife. We were up there ministering. Why not go see this amazing creation that's a remnant of the flood? But I'll tell you what, you should have seen the negative reaction. I got some great positive reactions on social media, but some people took the extra step and said, let's cut this brother's head off. Because I went to Niagara Falls. Because I happened to post it. My wife had a good day. We could go walk around together. And then everybody said, oh, is your wife healed? Is she doing better? No, she just had a good day. But praise the Lord, she had a good day. You see, it's nobody's business. But now we want to post and post and post. In fact, that's one thing that we've been pretty bad at in our ministry. We don't send out newsletters all the time. We're frankly a little too busy sometimes. But the reality is, we're just trying to do God's work. And now if you're on Facebook or on these social media platforms and you do anything nobody thinks that they object to, you know, then all of a sudden you're opening yourself up to a bunch of scrutiny because you've published it and now you're fair game. Ladies, gentlemen, whatever you post, you could potentially be opening yourself up to a lot of scrutiny. Oh, and people may not always voice it. What they say is that if someone voices it, that means a whole lot more people probably thought the same thing. In a study, oh, this is interesting. People also reported in this study experiencing anxiety because they don't feel smart enough or as interesting as, or successful as other people, which keeps them from engaging in person now. A study published in the American Journal of Epidemiology assessed over 5,000 subjects and concluded overall that regular use of Facebook had a negative impact on an individual's well-being. The studies out here are so powerful, and I'm just giving you little sound bites in a sense. When you read the studies, and by the way, every study that we have referenced, I have all the references, and when we put this seminar together in its final version and we record it, we will have a bibliography that'll go with it and give you all the references that we have cited, and you can go and look and go even deeper. Social media, they found, establishes a false sense of being social. It's actually a solitary activity. It's not a social activity. Facebook and Twitter and the like stimulate social interaction, but the results can be one of loneliness like we've already talked about. Having friends on social media, however, is not the same as having friends in real life like we've talked about. And often those who have many connections on social media actually lead, they have found, more antisocial existence in the real world. So we need to be careful and not allow social media to replace our face-to-face human connection, which we talked about already. Let's move on to 3, memories. Let's look at social media's impact on our memories. Social media can actually be great for looking back fondly on our memories and how past events occurred. However, this is interesting. Because of maybe the way that we posted it, and it's not the reality of what was really going on, looking back on these things can distort the way in which you actually remember certain events in your life. You might have had a totally different visceral reaction to something that was going on, but you post it going, everything's great. And you look back on it, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not really what was going on. Or you deceive yourself into thinking that that's where you were emotionally at that point. And so what's interesting is, for instance, people attending funerals of a loved one, crazily enough, they will stop, and because the habit has become to take a selfie, right, take the selfie, and they're taking the selfie at grandma's funeral, and they're like, you know, doing this whole little cutesy little thing or what have you, and they look back on it when Facebook brings things around, this is what you were doing this day last year, before you know it, it was at grandma's funeral, but your face, your reaction, everything was totally different than the emotions of losing grandma. So it starts to distort even our memories. Many of us are guilty of spending way too much time trying to take that perfect photo, this visual marvel, and all the while, we're actually not absorbing firsthand what we're witnessing with our own eyes. I've seen it. I have seen it when I've been around the world and the country, and people are like, oh, this is amazing, and they're doing this the whole time, and they're videoing it, and they're taking pictures and all of that type of stuff, while the real thing is happening right in front of them. They're actually living real events through their screen now. They're missing out on it. You know, a screen, when I do this right here, I'm only getting about that much of the picture in front of me. But this room is really large. And what we're missing out on is life, because we're looking at our screens trying to capture it for everybody else. We're not even capturing anymore for ourselves. Isn't that weird? Our thinking has been radically changed. The way that we're documenting our life, as though we need to document it for whom? Before, we would take pictures, and then we would put them in photo albums, and we would sit on the couch periodically and go through the photo albums, right? But it was my birthday when I was a little boy, and they took a couple photos, or maybe a short little video, and then they jumped back into the activity themselves. But now, we're back here, and everybody's going like this, and they're not bending over and blowing out the candles with the little boy. It's pretty sad what's going on. And the challenge is that many are now experiencing their lives through that tiny little screen rather than putting it down and stepping into the scene before them. And if we direct all of our attention to capturing the best shots for social media, for followers to admire, well, less joy is experienced in our life. Less joy is experienced in real life. And spending too much time on our phones detracts from those other aspects of experience, and it undermines the happiness we could be gleaning from them. Many miss out on these important moments because they are so distracted by the need to post that they miss out on the event themselves. And unfortunately, here's what happens. We're not allowing the event to imprint in our mind and create the actual memory of being in that real environment. What's happening is the mind is becoming so programmed and rewired and changed that we know everything that we put on there, on that device, and log it into our online experience, our memory now is online somewhere as opposed to actually being in our memory. In fact, this is why people will go, "Whoa, what was that all about? I don't even remember what we did." I know, because we are no longer using this beautiful mind the way that God gave us, and we're orienting with the world around us through a different means. And so there are people going like, "What did I do last month? Well, this year went by so fast," and they don't even have hardly any memories of their year. It's because it's being logged somewhere and there's no effort being put into being in the moment and making a memory. My wife and I have decided that as we are with people and as we are in different environments, we are stopping and we are, like for instance, we were just in Washington, D.C. last week, and I just stood there at the Capitol building. Right in the middle of Washington, D.C., because right underneath that dome of the Capitol building, where the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights and everything that's there, it's actually the center of the building, and it's the center of Washington, D.C., all by design. And I literally just sat there, and I looked at that American flag. I didn't post it. I wasn't taking a ton of pictures. I just absorbed this amazing environment, and I was impressed by how many people gave their lives so I could have freedom. But if you're busy doing this and doing all that because you want to find this angle and see, look where I am, look what I'm getting to do, look at this, oh, this is cool, you miss the impress, the imprint of that moment. It'll now forever be indelibly marked in my mind because I went old school. Amen? I went analog. And I made that imprint. I can see it as clear as day in my mind. Because guess what? My brain still works. Amen? And praise the Lord, hopefully yours does too. So let's be aware of this. Let's experience life for ourselves and for our loved ones, with our loved ones. And periodically, perhaps, if you want to share something that's neat and insightful, let's do that. But be careful. Build lasting memories that are just for you and your loved ones. Everybody doesn't need to know how awesome your life isn't. Sleep. So we have self-image, human connection, memories, and sleep. Social media can negatively impact our sleep. Having enough sleep is paramount in having a healthy existence. However, many of us use, not us, I should change that word, many people use their phones in bed, which makes it harder to doze off. Dr. Bono explains. He says, getting worked up with anxiety or envy from what we see on social media keeps the brain on high alert, preventing us from falling asleep. Plus, the light from our mobile devices just inches away from our face can suppress the release of melatonin, a hormone that helps us feel tired. And so they found that there are more and more sleep problems because of that little blue light that's causing us. Because I don't know if you we don't have time to get into all that. Anyway, light impacts, and the color even, the hue of light impacts whether or not we start getting tired or we want to stay awake. So try setting yourself a strict rule of not getting on your phone for at least, here's what they found, for at least 40 minutes to an hour before you want to go to sleep. If you want to go to sleep about 10 p.m., then the best thing you can do is turn off your phone or put it on silent and put it in a different room from when you're going to sleep about 40 minutes to an hour before you want to fall asleep. Otherwise, you're going to lay there for a while. It's going to take a while before you fall asleep. It's amazing how people will, I'm so tired, you know, or whatever. It's amazing how students get exhausted when they just are studying out of an actual book. But then you can sit them in front of a screen and bing, they can be on it for hours. Why? Because we've disrupted the sleep cycle. And so if you're tired, and I look around, and most people are just tired today, I've learned, and I was one of those people. I worked hard, worked hard, worked hard. I'd go out and play hard. I'd come back, I'd check in. I didn't realize that just doing that was causing anxiousness, perhaps some envy and pride, all these types of things. And the light was stimulating the suppression of melatonin. So I was creating a sleepless environment for myself. Be careful. Does that make sense? Number five, let's move on quickly. Attention span. It's not just your subconscious brain that we need to worry about, but it's also the extent to which our brain is fully able to concentrate throughout the day. While it's incredible to consider the amount of information that's now readily available at our fingertips, and thanks to social media and the internet, it also means that people have to become very careful because it's very easy to become distracted. Social media has provided a means of constantly giving into the temptation of instant, easy access entertainment. And that's the case. I mean, I have seen young people that... Let me rephrase that. I have seen people, young and old, that they will sit down, their intention is to maybe check an email or watch a quick video on something that they wanted to check out. But the problem with places like YouTube is... If you have it set up, you watch one video, the next one immediately loads, and bam, it's going. And then the next one loads, and the next one loads, and before you know it, you're like, 3 hours is gone. Am I right? You know it. And it's all by design. It's to keep us on there, because like we looked at yesterday, our eyeballs are what's for sale. And the effects this has on students is especially concerning, and apropos being here on the campus of Heartland. Students become victims of social networks more often than anyone else. When they're studying or searching their course study material online, they get attracted to these different sites to kill the boredom in their study time, diverting their attention from their work, resulting in reduced learning and research capabilities. The fact that we're actually on this conduit that can open up the world to you is actually reduced our learning and research capabilities. Students have start relying more on the information accessible easily on social networking sites and on the web, and this reduces their learning and research capabilities because they're being just spoon-fed all of this information instead of learning how to dig for it. Even though I'm talking about all of these things that are online, my wife and I have done some online studies, but here's what we did. We would go and we would do different search criteria. We'd start hunting and learning. We're trying to put this all together. And when we found the actual study that they were referring to, we went and we found the actual study and read it for ourselves. That's research. Amen? And then, this book was referenced and that book was referenced. Okay, we started buying it online and grabbing the physical, tangible books and reading the book. Finding out, now just don't just take that snippet. Is it properly, are we going to refer to it properly in context of what that researcher was saying? And we're highlighting and we're underlining and we're writing notes and margins and post-it notes and we're researching. This is a lost art today. Because we think that everything on the internet has got to be true if it has some sort of reference. Oh, no. No. In fact, even in our music seminar, I learned something from it in the distraction dilemma. We talked about these radio frequencies and how they design and do different things. And then we talked about water molecules and all of this. The reality is the water molecule thing was a little shaky when I went back and I researched it deeper. I never talk about it anymore. But it's the one thing that people go, yeah, I'm not so sure about the water molecule thing. And then they want to throw out everything else that has been researched. So we've become very careful with that because we want to lead you in the right direction. Amen? Negative effects on students. It can reduce command over language usage and creative writing skills. What's interesting is that the more time that students spend on social media sites, the less time they tend to spend socializing in person, like we've talked about. This reduces communication skills, hurting their ability to communicate and socialize effectively in person. Well, we know that perhaps, but here's what employers are reporting. Your graduates. Employers are reporting as it's getting more and more difficult and they're becoming more unsatisfied with the communication skills of fresh graduates due to this reason. Effective communication skills are a key to success in the real world. In fact, these employers now, they will now go and just beware, young people, old people. I keep pointing to the young people because I think it's such a difficult challenge to live in this world today. That's why I keep, you know, talking to my young brothers and sisters. But here's the challenge. Employers will actually not just look at your resume. They will go and find you on social media. It is now, this is what they do now. And if you're presenting yourself as this professional that can really think and reason, do all this kind of stuff, and they go on to your different social media outlets and they see a totally different idiot, they're not going to hire you. They're not. Well, that's unfair. No, actually, it's pretty deep investigation into who you might really be. Or are you putting a facade out there? And is this the one? Well, you seem kind of disingenuous. We're not sure who you really are. We'd rather have somebody that it actually works in person and who you are online. So people are shooting themselves in the foot because they're drunken idiots out in the world. And then they want to present themselves as these professional thinking people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whomever you are, let's be genuine. Amen? Because you would have a great relationship with somebody, you need to have genuineness. You need to be genuine with people. Who are you? Stop putting on this Facebook facade. Ooh, that's a good title. Facebook facade. I might consider that. Unfortunately, students that spend more time in these different distractions have lower grades, they have loss of motivation, and overall time wastage. Number 6, social media's impact on mental health now. Not only has social media been proven to cause unhappiness, but it can lead into the development of mental health issues such as anxiety or depression when it's used too much without caution. It was reported on a survey of 1,000 individuals that more than a third of Gen Zers, that would be people born from the mid-90s to the 2000s, they shared that they were thinking of quitting social media for good, as 41% stated that social media platforms make them feel anxious, sad, or depressed. And this, there's actually an awakening starting to happen. In the world we're talking about. We're not even talking about Christians. We're talking about worldly, secular, natural man saying, you know what? This doesn't make me feel good. So 41% of young people that were surveyed are saying, I'm actually thinking about cutting it out. Ben Jacobs, a very successful DJ who has a large following on Twitter, decided to go on a hiatus himself from the platforms, and the Twitter platform specifically, and he found the break very beneficial. Here's what he wrote. Quote, Twitter did indeed make me feel anxious from time to time. And as it slowly dawned on me, I was concerning myself with the feelings of thousands of strangers I followed while they didn't necessarily know who I was. Since my Twitter hiatus, I have had a clear head with plenty of time to devote to other things. All I can say is amen. For others, you might need to take a break totally from it for a while. Now, we're going to get into some practical social media impact and key indicators to be aware of. If you suspect that social media is chipping away at your emotional wellness, you're not alone. Psychologists, psychiatrists, and other healthcare professionals have seen a drastic uptake in patients who feel that they're being adversely affected by their online social activity. And here are just some of the key indicators to be aware of. Low or decreased self-esteem during or after social media use. Now, here's what we need to do. If we're going to utilize social media and have different online experiences, I want to strongly encourage you that to be aware of how you're feeling, what's going through your mind, right before you grab that device to go on there. If all of a sudden you're like, oh, and you're starting to have that, oh, okay, I want to see. Being really discerning. Ask God to give you wisdom. Lord, help me to know, how is this impacting me? And if there's this thrill and this little bit of excitement starting to brew, you can know that all of that brain hacking has impacted you that we talked about last night. Or if when you're done, or while you're on there, if you have low or decreased self-esteem during or after using social media, just be honest with yourself. And say, you know what, it does make me a little sadder. Or if it doesn't, then move on. In fact, another key indicator to be aware of, negatively comparing yourself to others via social media content. So if you're negatively, if you start saying these negative things in your mind or even out loud, be aware, this is an indicator that social media is impacting your mental health. Hello? Make sense? All right. Repetitively focusing on your own shortcomings or distress while viewing other social media feeds. Continuing on. Low or decreased self-esteem during or after using social media. Go down to the bottom. Decreased inability to concentrate. Frequently feeling envious of others while engaged with social media, using social media as your prime leisure activity. That's what's happening now, is that when you want to go do something, you kind of want to just veg out, you're kind of done with your real life, we now use social media as a leisure activity. These are key indicators to be aware of. Feeling disconnected from friends and family, or not interacting with them in person as often as you normally would or previously would. Increased or unusual social anxiety when interacting with people online. This is what is crazy. You start off with this online experience. You're hidden behind your screen and what have you. And there's kind of this little safety buffer. This is why people engage in cyberbullying and saying horrible things to people, because they would not normally typically do that face to face. But our social interactions have changed now, and we just cut people's heads off if we don't like what they're saying. So what's happening is it's developing an anxiety, actually, even when we're interacting with people online now, because we're afraid of the repercussions of what we might say. Feeling a need to share everything you're doing offline on social media. That's what I alluded to earlier. If you just have this compulsion to want to share things all the time. Now, what's interesting is on campuses, maybe like Heartland, I'm not sure what your policies are here anymore. I don't know. I used to know them about 15 years ago. I don't know how things may have shifted. But on certain academy campuses, not generally college campuses, but academy campuses, there's a strict rule. No smartphones. No. And if you need to call your parents, you pick up a landline and you call your parents. Or your parents need to get a hold of you. So those devices are checked, which actually is a really good thing. Here's what every single principal and teacher have told me. The first week of coming back to school after a break, the kids are nuts. They're nuts. They're totally different. But as they detox and come off of it, these nice young people return. And they're not being driven by all of this. And they're able to communicate better. They're able to share with each other face to face. And then when it's time to leave, oh, they get it back. Okay, And before you know it, they're right back into it as they go home for break. And the cycle continues every single time. They come back, and now the teachers just know. We know the first week, in fact, some schools, teachers privately call it hell week. What's going on? It's changing us. Experiencing negative, another key indicator to be aware of, that perhaps social media could be impacting your mental health. Experiencing the negative emotional experience of FOMO, fear of missing out, during or after viewing others' online activity. Consciously, consistently using social media as a distraction to avoid or suppress unpleasant emotions. And, you know, some people are not running to drugs and alcohol, which is not good, of course, not a good choice, to numb their reality. They're running to social media now to vicariously live through other people and put out this other avatar that we talked about yesterday. Irregular or disordered sleeping patterns. This can be another key indicator. Increased in fatigue or stress during or after using social media. Now, these are some of the basic things that we want to look at and be honest in our evaluation. How do you really feel before, during, or after your time on social media platforms? Are you left jealous, upset, and stressed out? Are you finding that you are, that when you're getting out of your interactions online, that it doesn't help you to feel settled, but you're unsettled? So it's important for us to closely examine how we're reacting to our social media. So now let's get into some actual serious warning signs. Not that those weren't serious, but these are, according to the researchers, those were some of the key indicators. Now we're going to get into serious warning signs. Do you feel social media has become compulsive, that you have to use it? And there are many people that when they wake up, they have to get on. When they're done with class, they've got to get on that. When they're on their break from work, they have to get on it. Or while they're working, they're sneaking peeks. This is a serious warning sign. Do you find it difficult to not engage in social media even when you don't really want to? This is kind of like a drug addict saying, I don't really want to take the drug, but they take it anyway. Because they found that it's on the same level addiction-wise because of what it does in the brain. So if you're using social media and you don't really want to, serious warning sign. Do you find your use or desire to use social media rapidly growing? Maybe you started, it was interesting, you wanted to catch up with some old friends, see if they were online, but now it's rapidly growing that you really have this desire to use it. This is a serious warning sign. Do you become angry, irritated, negatively, emotionally, or physically affected when you cut back or aren't engaged in social media platforms? This is a sign of addiction. And this is what the schools experience and the teachers experience when they remove it, those smartphones, from the students at academies. They become angry, they become irritated, they are negatively, emotionally impacted. This is a serious sign of addiction. Do you often find yourself preoccupied with social media? How are you going to use it? Or what's going on in the different social media platforms that you use? So when you're not on it, are you thinking about it? That's another sign, a serious sign. 6. Are you neglecting other aspects of your life, or have your online relationships with your family, offline relationships with your family and friends been negatively affected by your social media use? If you are not hanging out with mom and dad or your brother, your sister, your friends in a real world, and I don't mean you're sitting in the same room and you're all on your devices. That's the new family time. That's not healthy family time. In fact, I was at a number of years ago, my mother had Thanksgiving dinner at her house, and my niece and her friend had nowhere to go for Thanksgiving, so she asked, can I bring my friend to Thanksgiving? Of course, sure. And every Thanksgiving, we go to Salvation Army, and we serve the homeless, and then we come home and have a small Thanksgiving together. And my niece was there sitting next to her friend at the dinner table, and I realized they were texting each other at the dinner table, sitting right next to each other. Literally, this has become, and I'm telling you, my niece was highly addicted, thousands and thousands of texts all the time. And she was sitting right, I looked at her and I said, Ashley, I'm sorry, I don't normally use her name. I said, sweetheart, who are you texting right now? And she went, I went, what? We're having a dinner here. You're not even engaged. I thought maybe at first she was texting somebody else. But then I noticed they were kind of like, And I'm like, wait a minute. Who are you? I knew at that point. She goes, I go, you guys are sitting here and you're texting each other? How about this? How about we collect everybody's phone? Come on. No, uncle, no. No, no. Well, I won't text her anymore. No, just grab the little basket. Let's put it in here. Guess what? It became my mother's thing. When you come to my house for dinner, all the phones are going in the basket now. Thanks, Uncle Christian. But guess what? We had a great night together. We were playing games. We were talking. And I saw my little niece, not little, she was 19 at the time, but I saw my young niece who was just like engaged in life again instead of like this the whole time. And now she has children and she's like, mommy, 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 just a minute. Mama, mama, mommy. I've said, Ashley, put your phone down. Your kids want you. I will in just a minute. Full addiction. The social media use is impacting their real life. It breaks my heart. So what do we do? If we recognize that this excessive social media use is undermining our health, our mental health, and our happiness, then that's really the first big step. To admit it, yep, I got an issue. I've got a problem here. And then we can make a committed decision to make change. How about, here's a few things that you can do when you're committed to making a change. Substitute some or all of your social media time with face-to-face activities with family and friends who support you and actually care about you. That's a great novel idea, amen? Put down your phone and other devices when you are with others. Go out, take a hike. Go, if you like fishing, go fishing. Do whatever that's healthy and wonderful activity. I'm not saying go and do destructive things. But what we need to do is to spend time with each other doing real things. Consider expanding your interpersonal social circles to include people with similar interests. Get out there. Do something. People have come to me for years and said, oh, I wish I could play the piano. I wish I could play the guitar. How about you drop 8 hours a day of being on this other junk and learn and become a master with that kind of devotion? Can you imagine what you could do if you devoted 8 hours to learning how to play the piano? Imagine if you just use 4 hours a day. I don't have that kind of time. Yes, you do. Yes, you. What if? How many people have wanted to learn a second language or a third language? I just don't have time. Yes, you do. You're just not prioritizing it in a way that utilizing your time that helps you in your life, right? How about get moving towards something better when you feel a need to hit social media? If you sense it welling up, to say, nope, you know what? I'm going to go and pick up the Word of God. Or, nope, I'm going to go and I'm going to call my mom and talk to my mom. Do something productive in your life instead of going to that habit of social media, which doesn't sometimes really do us much good. Find a new healthy hobby, like we said. Learn a new skill or a language. How about this? How about get some sleep? If you know what? Here, I finally figured out the best remedy if you're tired. Sleep! You don't need herbs. You don't need all this other stuff. If you're tired, put it down and go to sleep. That's like revolutionary thinking. Take some time away from the internet as a whole to remove the temptation of logging onto your favorite social media platforms. They have found if you have a challenge with this, just put it all away for a while. You choose how long you need to put it away. Take social media off your radar by uninstalling apps, perhaps. Removing shortcuts from your home screens and bookmarks from your browser. This makes getting to the social media platforms a little bit longer, which requires a little bit more effort, and perhaps the Holy Spirit could have a little bit of time to go, do we really want to do that right now? Another important step, turn off notifications, except for perhaps phone calls or messages and your calendar. And then re-enable the ones that you realize that you actually want later. For example, Uber or Google Maps. Like, for instance, I turned off notifications for, like, everything on my phone for a while. And then I was like, okay, a few things I needed. If you are calling up an Uber and have someone come, you need to have the notification, hey, I'm here, right? So don't turn them all off and leave them all off unless you can exist that way. But because I travel so much, there are certain apps I needed to have notifications popping up. But you know what? I need to turn off my Instagram notifications because I'm getting them all the time. So-and-so likes you. So-and-so just followed you. So-and-so. I'm like, I don't even know who they are until I go and spend time to find out who they are. Oh, hey, hi, how are you? And if you don't respond, people start going, wow, I guess this is not important to follow him. You can't possibly respond to everybody. You know, give me some grace. Amen? Give yourself some grace. Set firm boundaries. If you must engage on social media, lay down clear limits in advance of how many times a day or how long you will spend online. You can actually install apps on your devices and you define it. You say, I only want to spend an hour a day on social media. And then you say 1 hour and lock me out of that app for 12 hours. Or you get to set it up. And unfortunately, if all of a sudden you're like, forget this, and you want to uninstall the app, you're addicted. That means you really need to be using that app. Amen? It's a good indicator. And so if you go, I only want to spend this much time on this app and this kind, you can totally define it however you want. Set firm boundaries. Steer clear of content and platforms that bring you down and evoke negative responses. This is something that's revolutionary to people. If you are getting negative emotions and feelings, stop doing whatever gives you those negative emotions. For instance, in the music seminar, we talk about if you're sad, don't listen to sad music. Why? You're going to become perhaps even depressed. That's a misuse of music. If you're sad, listen to something that's uplifting and it'll pull you out of that pit. Amen? Well, if something makes you angry, now I have to drive in traffic. Sometimes traffic upsets me. Especially when I'm pulling a 42.5-foot trailer behind me and people cut you off. I'm like, I'm going to smash you, buddy. Sorry. Because you're talking about safety concerns. I'm like, oh, you know, that kind of thing. But the reality is I can't escape traffic because I have to travel around the world. But I can escape something perhaps on social media or online that causes me to get angry or upset. Amen? There are certain things we can modify. And if it just makes you sad, why do you want to go be sad? I tried that once. I don't like how it makes me feel, so I don't do it anymore. Praise the Lord. That's using your mind in a good way. Amen? Oh, nobody said amen. So I have a challenge for you. Try one weekend to start with, tech-free. No smartphones, no tablet, no Facebook, no computer. And if you're saying, no, then you're the one that needs to do it for longer than a weekend. I'm serious. If that was kind of your knee-jerk reaction, let that be warning, you have an addiction. No smartphones, no Facebook, no computer. Evaluate yourself over the course of the weekend. Make a mental note every time that you find yourself fishing for that phone or reaching for it because it's become your habit. And that should be like, uh-oh. In fact, even be aware of, have you been experiencing phantom buzzes? Did you know that that starts to happen? If you carry that phone right here, you'll start having phantom buzzes. The phone's not even in your pocket. It's crazy what it's doing to us physiologically and emotionally. We don't have time to get into all of that. Be aware and remember the times when you start developing an itch to go surfing or update your Twitter. Distract yourself with productive activities. So here's what I'm going to suggest. Get on our mailing list if you're not already. Go to our website, shepherdscall.com, and go there. That's S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D, shepherdscall.com. And get on our mailing list or sign up on our email list. And when we get this all done, we'll send you out a notification because it's probably going to be around 6 hours because we have so much amazing information. And we're going to tighten it up, but we're going to expand it. We're going to go into, we haven't even talked about catfishing. We haven't even talked about all the problems with the sexual predators that are online. In any given day, there's over 500,000 sexual predators online, and they're after our children. In fact, I had a lady come up to me and tell me a harrowing story yesterday about the sexual activity that her grandchildren were into, and now the family's life is threatened if they don't send inappropriate, disgusting videos to this pervert. It's real and it's happening even in the cream of the crop. Let's finish up here. We have just a few slides left. This is interesting. I just want you to think about this. Let's be careful to let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Let's remember to not covet our neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house or his vacations or the clothing they're wearing, his field or his manservant, his female servant, his ox or his car, his motorcycle or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Because self-promotion now is at an all-time high. And we're coveting. We're even looking at everybody else's thing and is creating this dissatisfaction. Where God may not put us in a certain financial station in life. There are some among our ranks that have great means. And they live in a different level. But that doesn't mean that we're less than because they have more. Amen? I sold everything. I had a beautiful home. It took me many years to save money and work hard for that. But God said, put it all aside. And if things had become my standard, then I would have never sold that home. I would have never sold that beautiful greenhouse and that orchard. I wouldn't have sold my video studio, 4,000 square foot video studio. I wouldn't have sold all of these things if my heart was in the world, right? And of the world. And God is trying to say, let's disconnect. Do not be distracted by the world. I'm not saying the world doesn't pull at my heart. It pulls at everybody's heart. But the reality is, my friends, if we're focused on Christ and what He has for us, then we will spend and be spent for the gospel's sake, not for self's sake. Amen? Self-promotion is spoken against in the Bible, and we need to be careful. And as we draw to earth's end, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. My goal here today is to provoke you unto love and to good works and to set aside some of these things that might be a distraction in your life. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some on social media, but exhorting one another. What does that mean? It means to strongly encourage. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So let's not allow the devil to separate us from each other. Amen? Amen. Let's not be satisfied with a semi-connected, superficial network online. I'm not saying they're evil, but I am saying there's some serious issues. And if you don't control it, it will control you. It's designed to do that. And friends, your little brain cannot overcome the brain of 1,000 engineers on the other side of that device. There's no way. We need Christ in our life. We need God to help us. We need Him to give us perspective as to whether this is a problem. And as we see the day of approaching of Christ's second return, we need to encourage each other to get in the Word of God. If you're spending this much time on social media, you better be spending at least that much time in the Word of God. Otherwise, it's like you're flipping a coin. Am I really going to be saved or not? Amen? Because friends, if you're spending more time with the world than you are with God, you're going to become more like the world. This is how the brain works. So if you're going to spend 2 hours a day with the world, you better spend 2 hours and 1 minute with the Lord. Amen? But friends, think about this. That's just a coin toss at that point. Because you're spending 2 hours and 2 hours. And most, my brothers and sisters, I'm not spending 2 hours a day with God. So at minimum, we should spend way more time with the Word of God and with the Lord in our life. Because friends, we are not going to overcome. We are being overcome. And we need to be overcomers. Amen? And if we're not vitally, I wish I had time to give you a whole nother message on being vitally connected. Go to our website. Look up the 4 C's of Christianity. It will give you a baseline to help you. And I just finally got to a place where I said, Lord, You've got to show me how this Christianity thing works and how this connection thing works. I don't get it, apparently. And He helped me to strip down Christianity to 4 simple little steps. And it changed my life. So let's spend more time together. fellowshipping with one another, encouraging as we see the day approaching. And as these in these last days that we are living in Earth's history, and I believe it's really happening, look around. Don't look here, look around. Amen? We're going to be scattered all over this planet. We're going to not be able to fellowship with one another like we can right now. And we're going to look back on these days and when we had true communion with each other, amen, with a true community here on this campus. And we're going to look back, and by God's grace, it's going to encourage us to go forward, even though we feel like we're totally isolated. But the reality is, God has sent His angels to be with us. We may not be able to see it with our own eyes, but we can know it's true because we've spent time with God and God's word is true. He said He will send every bit of help that we need. So let's be careful with what we're looking at. Let's be careful with where we're putting our time. Let's stop wasting time in the world and on social media, and let's start investing time in our walk with God. Does that make sense? Something cyber social media can never do for us is build our walk with Jesus Christ. That is built on our knees, in communion, in prayer with God, and in His Word, and fellowshipping with like-minded believers. Amen?
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.